Welcome to week five of our current Sunday morning series, Road Trip. Now, let me tell you, this past week I was with our kids down in Louisville, and you would be amazed at the talent that God has given our young people here at Oak Creek. They excelled, and they have just blessed my life and the lives of so many. And next week we'll let you know about all their standings and whatnot, but I want you to know every last one of them. There was about 62 with some of the adults that were there. And amongst about 7,000, I think was the number that were there, they literally took over the city. And it was exciting to see what God is doing in our youth in the Assemblies of God. And so we can be extremely proud. Let's give all of our kids a big hand. Will you do that? To all the chaperones and to all that made it possible, and Pastor Sean and Pastor Dan, we appreciate all that they pour into the lives of our kids as well. So the Christian life, we've been talking about how the Christian life is much like a road trip. It is a journey that we've discovered that is different each and every day. You know, some days, just like a road trip, the weather is beautiful, traffic is moving, the scenery is breathtaking. Well, on other days, the weather is frightful. It's rain, it's damaging hail, it's blinding snow, it's all of this. And then mile after mile, the traffic barely creeps along. Yes, life is much like a road trip. And it is one that calls for vigilance, determination, and rapt attention to the road signs of life. You see, ignoring a road sign can be financially costly. Well, that's if you get a ticket. But it can even be deadly if there is an accident. The following are some actual statements that were sent into the insurance company, the Eagle Insurance Company, from drivers who tried to summarize the details of an accident they were involved in using as few words as possible. Here are a few actual reports. I was driving for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. I think after 40 years, you ought to get a little rest, don't you? An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and then vanished. I think we've all had that occasion at some time or another. Coming home, this guy writes, he says, I drove into the wrong house, collided with a tree that I do not have. Another wrote, I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. He has some splaining to do. Another writes, the guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I could hit him. Patience pays off. I told the police that I was not injured, but on removing my hat, I found that I had a fractured skull. This poor guy. Here's another one that wrote, as I approached the intersection, a sign suddenly appeared in a place where no stop sign had ever appeared before. I was unable to stop in time to avoid the accident. Another writes, the indirect cause, and this is my favorite, the indirect cause of the accident was a little guy in a big car with a big mouth. Today's sign is one of the easiest to identify out of all the road signs. Its distinctive octagon shape is universal throughout the world. The stop sign is the most common road sign that's encountered on any journey we will ever take. Whether it's small little villages along the way or large cities, they all have what we know as a stop sign. Stop signs are literally found then everywhere. Matter of fact, in 2009, the Bureau of Statistics, they estimated that there are 856,373,373 stop signs here in the United States. That's about three for every single person. And so stop signs, they abound. A stop sign always means one and the same thing. When you see a stop sign, no discernment is necessary, unlike the yield sign. See, a stop sign means to come to a full and complete stop, and then to proceed with caution after making a full and complete stop. I read the story of a policeman that pulled over a car, walked up to the driver's window, and asked the man if he knew why he had been pulled over. No, the man replied. The officer said, well, you failed to stop at the stop sign. But I did slow down, the guy argued. The cop shook his head. You're required to stop. That's why it is called a stop sign. The man started to argue and became belligerent. Stop, slow down, what's the difference? At that point, the cop pulled out his baton. I can show you. I'm going to start hitting you with my baton. You tell me if you want me to stop or to slow down. Stop means stop, even if you're late for an appointment. Stop means stop, even if it's 3 a.m. and there's no other cars on the road. Stop means to volitionally cease an action or process. So by definition, the word stop means to volitionally, it's of your own volition. You choose to do so, and is to cease from an action or a process. The Bible has an amazing amount to say about this sign, this stop sign. You see, the word stop is actually found more than 240 different times in the Bible in its various forms. First of all, when you find that word stop in Scripture, it is referring to appropriate behavior. You know, just before I share that point, let me tell you what happened. On Friday evening, as I returned back from Louisville, I was, of course, out of the office this week with General Presbytery meetings and then being able to catch up where I could and when I could with the kids during fine arts. And so I was working on my message for this morning on Friday night as I was working on my computer at home. And I generally will take notes to myself. They're not meant for public in any way, shape, or form. They're simply notes just to kind of trigger thoughts of where I will be beginning to do my study as I'm continuing on in the process of preparing a message. And so I took my notes, and in the subject line, I wrote, message, road trip, stop, and stop in big letters. And then I wrote these little points. And again, they were not meant for anyone. They're only trigger thoughts. So when I get back into the office the next day, I could begin to think about these. Steal no more, sin no more, stop sinning, stop the good for the best. And I went on, and those are some of my thoughts. But the very first line was, steal no more. Well, I got to the office, and I opened up my email, and I found that it was not there. And I thought, that's rather strange. I mean, I usually have no problem sending from my house to my office computer. And so I worked yesterday without any notes, as I normally bring with me, as I have worked on it throughout the week or even weeks that are previous. And I discovered that I had inadvertently sent my notes that started out, quit stealing, stop sinning, to our church accountant. It went to Gerald Krug, which is an outside accounting firm that does all of our auditing. And when I realized it, I couldn't believe what I had done. So I sent him a quick email letting him know, you know, just kind of what had happened. He sent me back an email this morning. He says, Jim Potter usually sends me the DVD or the CD afterwards anyway, so I would have caught it sooner or later. He said, I'm still your friend, by the way. All right. So the word stop. Stop refers to, first of all, there's some things that we need to stop in our lives in order to live out appropriate Christian behavior. Friends, the Apostle Paul was anything but an angel in his life prior to his encounter with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. Now, this man called Saul at this time, he was religious, but this religious man was mean-spirited. He was self-serving. He was self-promoting. And he was zealous, but for the wrong cause. I believe Paul, if he had a model for living at that time, would have been the end justifies the means. So whatever it takes to get the hoped for conclusion, that's all that really counts. Because of Paul's sordid background, Friends, he thoroughly understood the need for a lifestyle change when a person comes to Christ. Some changes God instantaneously takes place in our lives at the altar, while others are a choice that we must make daily as we continue on in our walk with Christ. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says some things that need to stop, things that we need to quit in our lives. You'll find them in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, reading through verse 32. And when we come to the word stop, I want you to say stop with me as loud as you can, all right? So when you see it on the screen, I want you to just shout it out, stop, all right? Let's see what he has to say about our sign this morning as it relates to what is appropriate living for a believer, a follower in Jesus Christ. He says, let me say this then, speaking for the Lord, live no longer as the unsaved do. He said, it's impossible. If you've been saved and you're now a follower of Christ, you cannot live like you once lived. Do not live any longer as the unsaved do, for they are blinded and they're confused. Their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds against Him and they cannot understand His ways. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. They have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing. They stop at nothing, being driven by their evil minds and reckless lusts. But that isn't the way Christ taught you. If you have really heard His voice and learned from Him the truths concerning Himself, then throw off your old nature, your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and sham. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be consistently changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourselves with this new nature. Stop what? Stop lying to each other. One more time. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. If anyone is stealing, he must and begin using his hands for his honest work so that he can give to others in need. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give them a blessing. Don't cause the Holy Spirit's sorrow by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Then it is what? Next word?
Stop
being what?
Mean.
Isn't that a good word? Stop being mean, bad-tempered and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. Did you notice how many times Paul says that there is a time to stop? And this must be the stopping of the old behavior, our old lifestyle before we came to Christ. Friends, if our new life is a mirror image of our old life, something is wrong. We cannot continue on living the way we once lived when we knew not Christ. Now, some would say, well, that's just who I am. And I hear people all the time saying, you have to just kind of accept me for what I am and who I am. Friends, stop means stop. And Paul says there are some things that have been part of our past life in the way we once lived, the way we once conducted business, the way we once interacted with the world, the way we interacted with those of the household of faith. He said there is a time that you must stop the old lifestyle and begin to embrace the new which is in Jesus Christ. So first of all, he says then, there are some things that we need to just outright stop in our lives. I want you to think with me for a moment. What are some things you feel the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about over the last number of months or even possibly years? Things that you know were part of what you once were before coming to Christ. It was possible that you were one of those that your tongue could just cut somebody down to the ground. And you could walk away and you would think nothing of it. You would just, your tongue could just slice and dice and cut and chop. And you would leave somebody, you know, someone injured, not only for time, but in many cases for a lifetime, and just go on and really feel no remorse for it at all. He said, that's not the way for a believer to continue living. And so he gives to us a number of stop signs. He said, I want you to stop the old way of life, the old way of living. Now, secondly, as you read through the scriptures, you'll discover that there is a time, like there is on all road trips, a stop for fuel. You know, nothing runs or ruins a good day of travel like running out of gas. You know, over the years, I've run out of gas in my car, my motorcycle, my boat, my snowmobile, my riding lawnmower. I've run out of gas on nearly every gas-powered tool or machine that is available to man. Probably the only motorized vehicle that I've never experienced running out of gas with is an aircraft. And I thank God for that. The overcoming Christian life is not fueled by mere grit and determination, though grit and determination will help us in the Christian life. I want you to listen to what Jesus told his followers in Acts chapter 1, just prior to his ascension back to the Father. Now, Jesus had been crucified on the third day, raised back to life. He lives 40 days with his disciples, proving to them with absolute perfect assurance that he was alive and well and was going to keep all of his promises. And now we pick up Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus now is on the Mount of Ascension, getting ready to return back to his Father. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem. In other words, he's saying, I want you to stop. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, here is what I want you to do. You've been faithful followers of mine. You are with me now just moments before I return back to the Father. And I have a last word reminder for you. He said, I want you to stop. Stop before you return back to your villages. Stop before you return back to ministry. Stop before you go back home. I want you to stop here in Jerusalem. I want you to wait until you receive the fuel from heaven that is going to give you the strength you're going to need to go back to your villages, your cities, to your families, to a hostile world, so that you will have the power within you to live the life I want you to live. I want you to stop. I want you to wait. I want you to fuel. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, there's another point of life whereby Isaiah says we should stop. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that stop and wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's what Isaiah was saying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, the young men are literally going to run until they drop and fall. He said, the old, they don't have a chance. Their strength is well spent. So whether you're young or whether you're old, you're going to need what God will give you in those moments when you stop, wait upon Him, and in those moments, He's going to give you strength for the journey. So the word there then was stop, wait, renewal comes by refueling, waiting in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but friends, there's a strength that I so enjoy. If I will take and step aside from the busyness of normal everyday life, and every last one of us, whether we're young and in school, or whether we are near retirement, or whether you're in the midst of, you know, climbing the ladder of success at your job and your occupation of life, no matter where you are at, the word from heaven is stop. Stop. Stop and wait upon the Lord. And that is not wasted time. He said, if you will do this, you will renew your strength. And as your strength is renewed, you're going to run and you will not become weary. You will walk and you will not faint, even though the young and the strong they made because they have not waited upon the Lord. And the difference is going to be, whether you make it or not, is all in stopping and waiting upon the Lord. So first of all, there's some things in life we're to stop. We're to stop the old way of living, the old way of life. We're to stop the old habits. We're to stop and allow the Holy Spirit to give us strength and power to overcome, so we become in every dimension the new creature, the new person that God expects us to be. Yes, there's a refueling that takes place. A refueling, friends, that only comes through waiting upon God. A refueling that takes place when we wait on the Spirit. He said, I want you to go into Jerusalem. And I want you in Jerusalem, I want you just to stop. And I want you to wait there until you receive the power that I promised to you. Tonight in our service, I'm going to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, I believe in the day in which we're now living and the days that are before us, the difference between making it and the difference between failure is going to be the difference in stopping, waiting, refueling, and allowing the Holy Spirit to build us, to strengthen us for the journey and the days that are ahead. For I believe, as Isaiah said, the young, their natural strength will literally fail. But they that wait upon the Lord, regardless of age, regardless of natural ability, they that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. If you will stop, wait, renew, refuel, He said, I will see you through and you will become all that I've created you to be. So tonight, don't miss out. We're going to be talking about the refueling that comes through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit abiding within us. And then I want you to see that there's another time to stop. And that is stop to bless. You know, I have to admit to you this morning that once I get rolling down the road, I hate to stop. When I was younger, my gas tank and my bladder were the same capacity. There was no stopping until refueling. So as long as there's fuel in the tank, I kept on rolling. But that has changed. A half tank now means a full tank. And so I find myself stopping here along the way. But I dislike any kind of a stop because it always seems to take much longer than anticipated and always puts us far behind schedule. I want you to listen to a story that Jesus told about someone that was on a journey. He's on a road trip. And on this road trip, something very dastardly happens to him. And there's three individuals that come by. One stops, the others pass by. You know the account. In Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, now Jesus is responding to a young man that said, well, then tell me, who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. We might say he was going from Milwaukee to Chicago. He was traveling I-94. when he stopped at a gas station during the middle of the night, and they were going to hijack his vehicle, and they beat him and they leave him nearly half dead. Now in verse 31, it says, a priest happened to be going down the same road. And so he is on a road trip. He is making the same journey. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He did not stop. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, which would be in this account the least likely of anyone to stop and to help a Jew, because the Samaritans and the Jews, they did not get along at all. However, the two, the priest and the Levite, they would have been Jews. They would have been religious men. We would say today they were men of the cloth. They were preachers. They're on a journey. They're on a road trip. And their destination was so important. They're going from Jerusalem to Jericho. When I get to Jericho, that's when ministry will start. When I get to my destination and when I have an opportunity there to minister, that's when ministry is going to begin. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He stopped, in other words. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So not only does he stop, this man, this Samaritan, the most unlikely man, he not only stops, he goes over to this man that had been beaten. He has no idea whether the perpetrators are, you know, hiding in the bushes nearby, that his own life may have been in mortal danger. All he knew is, here is someone that is in need, and I have a choice to make. I can either keep on trucking down the road, making my journey, or I can stop. And so he stops and he bandages up his wounds, the Bible says. And not only doing that, he places him upon his own donkey. I've traveled through that section of the Holy Land many times. And it can be hot. It can be very, very hot. Especially when you get down to the lower areas, the lower elevations near Jericho. It seems like the atmospheric pressure and the heat is just overwhelming. And he places him upon his own donkey, and now he has to walk. Yes, he stops, and he ministers to someone else. Now in verse 36, Jesus asks the question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to this man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You know, the journey of life, friends, is filled with opportunities to bless others if we'll only stop. As I was returning back from Cincinnati on Friday, as I was coming off from 294 and then to the stretch of 94, just getting close to the state line on 94 between Illinois and Wisconsin, I heard a pop, one that I don't like to hear when I'm traveling, and my left front tire had blown out. And so I was able to get off from the interstate there, and actually right at Highway 50, and there was a hotel there, and so I pulled onto its lot, and I began changing the tire. And two iron workers that had been working all day long, you could see that they're weary from the day, both of them stopped, got out of the car, came over and said, listen, I can see you're not dressed for this job. We've been working all day long. We already stink. That was his word. We already stink. We're already dirty. Let us change the tire. Well, I assured him, I said, you know, I've got it. We'll be okay here. And they stayed right there until I had everything put it back on, you know, the vehicle and ready to travel back down the road again. But they stayed right with us. And during that time, we picked up conversation. I began to tell him how Sherry's brother, she has several brothers that are steel workers as well. And we began to share back and forth and just begin to talk and projects they're working on and so on. But the point is, here's two men. They know me from no one. They've worked all day long in the heat of the day, and it was very warm. It was about 87 degrees at the time. And here they are stopping before they go into their hotel room for the night to try to help someone else. I wonder how often in life I've missed opportunities like that. How many times, if I would have only stopped, I could have been a blessing to someone so simply. Someone that was in need, maybe in the hospital, hallway, but we're determined to get to the room and to the person that we have actually set out to go visit. Here's what I've discovered. Kindness in the name of Jesus goes a long way in convincing a lost world that God really changes lives and that God cares. And as we travel through life, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, he says, as you go. Now, I've dealt with that subject time and time again with us here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. As you go, as you are making your way to work tomorrow morning, as you are going home after the services of today, as you are going to a restaurant, as you're stopping at a gas station for fuel, life is filled with opportunities to bless if we'll stop. Jesus said, there is three men, two of them deeply religious. They were men of the cloth. The ones that would have been most expected to stop and to help someone in dire need. But they both looked. They stopped for just a moment and they began to decide, I've got a journey that I must continue. I'm on my way to Jericho, and I've got responsibilities in Jericho. I have ministry in Jericho. And here comes the Samaritan. The Samaritan said, there's nothing more important at this moment. I'm sure you must have been a businessman that was on a journey. It was not his region of the world at all. And he must have said, I must stop. I mean, I've got nothing better to do. Here is someone beaten, left for dead. Unless I do it, maybe this man will die. And so he stops. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 10 then. He says, as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, you've got to know when to stop. You need to know when to just pull over to the side for a moment. You need to stop at that elevator and just say, this is maybe the highest purpose and moment that God has for my day, even though we have other plans for sure. And as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is literally saying the day and the hour of God's grace is now present. Friends, if our world ever needed to know that God's grace is now available, they need to know it right now. Because I'm telling you, the Bible promises there's a day comes when night's going to come and no man's going to be able to work. It's going to be too late. We will not be able to stop. Time will have already passed by. Opportunity will be ever for over forever. And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, you've got to know when to stop and heal the sick. You need to know when to stop and to cleanse the leper. You need to know when to stop and raise the dead, when to cast out the devils. He said, freely you have given, you have freely have received, freely give. Stop to bless. You know, much of Jesus' ministry was really what I would call roadside ministry. It is road trip kind of ministry. He is making a journey, and as he's making the journey, he realizes that there is a divine moment right now, and if I don't stop now, this moment may never come my way again. Sometimes we pass it off and we say, well, you know, it's just kind of coincidence, and I'm busy, and, you know, I don't have time to stop, and we have 1,000 reasons. We have to know when to stop. So he gives us three, and there's so many more. He said, you need to know when to stop living like you once lived. He said, you need to set aside that stuff. You need to stop. Remember the next word there? He said, stop being mean. There's no place for that in the Christian life. Stop cutting others with your tongue. Stop going to bed mad, expecting that somehow during the night things will resolve themselves. He said, no. He said, you need to know when to stop and take care of things, make things right, set things straight. You need to take and stop the old lifestyle, he said. There's a time just to stop. But he also goes on to say there's a time to stop and refuel. Don't leave Jerusalem. There's a lost, dying world out there that I'm sure many were saying, if I just get out there, you know, the fire of the moment is going to, you know, be the fire that's going to change lives, and men and women will know that I've been walking with God. And he said, no, he said, you need to stop. You need to make sure that you've got the fuel of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart. You need to know when your natural strength is going to wear out. You need to stop and wait upon the Lord and allow him to renew your strength. He said, you need to know how to stop and when to stop in this busy life. You know, it could be that's going to be as you're walking down the plant floor tomorrow, the Holy Spirit's going to give a little word in the midst of all the noise, machinery, and people that are working. In the midst of it all, it's going to be a God moment. Yes, we're going to continue to be good employees. We're going to do what we're paid to do. But in that moment, we're also going to know when the Holy Spirit is saying, this is a moment. And maybe that moment is simply, you know, could I meet you, you know, for lunch? I believe that God cares about where you're at right now. And to know when to take those moments to stop and to minister. I don't want to be like the priest. Stops just long enough to take a look and say, you know, you're in bad shape, but I sure hope someone comes along. Or to be like the Levites, you know, the Levitical priesthood all comes out of the family of Levi. This Levite, he stops and again he looks, boy, you're in bad shape, but I don't have the time. I've got responsibilities. I've got a busy day. I'm headed for Jericho. If I stop now, I'm going to be behind schedule. And I don't want to get behind schedule because I want to get there during daylight hours. And, you know, there's just 1,000 things that go through our minds. Think of how different life could be this week if we will stop at the right times. Stop. Stop that word that's cutting and unkind. Stop. Unless it's going to encourage, stop. If you can't say anything good, then stop. That's right. Don't say anything at all. Know when to stop. Know when to refuel. Know when to stop and be a blessing for God. Father, this morning we've talked about a very practical sign. It's simply a sign that says there's a time to stop. It's not a parking sign. It is a stop sign. It is a momentary stop for the good and the safety of travel. In the spiritual realm, you tell us we have to stop the old way of living. You tell us that there's a time to stop to be refueled. Father, you promised that they that wait upon the Lord would renew their strength. They would mount up with wings as eagles. They would run and not be weary. They would walk and not faint. And so often we say, but I don't have time. I don't have time to stop like that. Just like on a road trip, we don't want to get behind schedule. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would quicken us this week, that we would know that before we rush out the door in the morning, we need to stop. Before we go to bed at night and fall asleep, maybe we need to just stop and thank you for the day. Take our loved ones by the hand and just surround the family with prayer. Time to stop. Forgive us, Lord, for all the times we were like the priest and the Levite, so busy, so much to do, so many responsibilities. We're just driven, and when we get to the next point, that's when we will relax and start ministry. Help us, Lord, to realize most of your ministry came out of divine interruption. It was not something that we can see that was planned in Scripture. Though you knew all things, you were the eternal Son of God and are the Son of God. But there's no indication in Scripture that you were aware at those moments that these events would take place. You made time for them as they arose. Whether it's a woman pressing through the crowd, touching the hem of your garment, whether it's a weeping parent for a lost child, whether it's someone that has a demon-possessed son or daughter, they've done everything. They've went to the best of counseling. There's nothing that can be done. You stopped and you met a need. Father, I pray that lives would be more sensitive, Lord, to the stop sign of life. Even in this moment, Lord, I pray we would just kind of stop for a moment. We'd evaluate the state of our own lives. Lord, this morning as you're speaking to us, Lord, if we've been living after the fact, much like we lived before we gave our lives to Christ, help us, Lord, to realize your word says you need to stop that kind of living. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be able to lay down the old life. You tell us, like a garment, we're to take off the old and put on the new, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that we would know how to stop and refuel. Lord, in a busy world, in a busy time, and most of us in this room, there's not enough hours in the day, and we oftentimes try to kid ourselves into thinking, if I stop, it's going to put me farther behind. Help us, Lord, realize a moment spent with you is never wasted. The time spent with you is not time consuming, but it's time reserving. So I pray, Lord, that we'd be more cautious about how we spend time this week. Help us, Lord, I pray, to know when we need to just stop. Could be on the highway. It might be in a mall. It could be as we're visiting someone else at the hospital. It might be as we're making our way to the lunchroom. Walking on a parking lot. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, declaring it's time to stop for a moment. I want you to bless someone. Help us, Lord, to not only hear, but to be obedient to that. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. We want to honor you this morning as we just, in your presence, declare that you are our God, that you are our Lord, and you alone will we serve with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. Let's all stand together and sing along with the worship team as they lead us this morning.